This is a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.
Hey, turn up your radio.
The John Gambling Show.
Best local story is this one.
The John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Thank you very much, Bill Rock, for the introduction and the voice. This morning we continue 10 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the John Gambling Show at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. The big story this week, all over the media, but especially here at WOR, has been Michael Savage and his words of last week about autism, calling it a fraud and a racket. Well, that has created all kinds of discussion, and we have been part of it here as well. Yesterday, you might remember, we had a telephone call from one of our listeners. I think his name was Paul, if I remember correctly. And he was telling us that he had been diagnosed and labeled as suffering from ADHD, slightly autistic, for the 30 years that he had been alive. And that he was very successful, but he had found it so very, very difficult to learn things, to get things from a printed page or other source into his head for whatever particular reason. And he said he went to a place, he wouldn't mention its name, but he went to a place where he learned not to be that way. And he was cured. It disappeared. All of the symptoms, all of the issues disappeared. I said, well, I got to find out who that is. But we're going to talk about it in just a second with one of the people from the company. It's Reuter and Riddle Institute for Empowered Learning. I've got Peter Riddle on the line here. But first, Peter, hang on just a second. A story in the paper this morning that Savage and the people that have been protesting against him, John Gilmore, we talked with him earlier this week. He had a very small demonstration outside of WOR. Evelyn Ayan of Oyster Bay and John Gilmore and State Senator Craig Johnson and others from across the country are actually going to travel out to San Francisco and protest in front of KNEW, where Michael Savage originates from. Also, listen to this. This is news I hadn't heard anywhere else. New York Governor David Patterson signed into law a measure facilitating regular screening of toddlers and children for autism spectrum disorders. Wow. Peter Riddle's on the line here. Peter, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very, very much. Okay, the Reuter and Riddle Institute for Empowered Learning, what on earth is that?
Well, we're a learning center, but we don't tutor. We work on processing. So we're coming three levels below content teaching or tutoring.
All right, but before we get into the specifics of what and how you do it, what is your position on autism and ADHD, ADD? Do you think that there are people that are diagnosed, labeled that are not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is misdiagnosis going on all over the country. And there's so many levels of proof, scientific proof of this. You can look at Ritalin clusters that are all over the country, which means that certain groups of doctors get into a trend of diagnosing somebody's Asperger's, is another one's autism, is another one's ADHD. So you see there's over 30 different disorders it could be.
All right. Now, let me ask you, though, the doctors that maybe are aggressive in diagnosing and labeling, is it something malicious? Is it something motivated by drug companies? Is it motivated by parents? What do you think the motivations are?
I think you just said all the reasons right there. I think it's, you know, I don't think there's any sinister plot out there. I don't think it's a scam. But I do think that so many children are being put on medication. If you look at this country, we have close to 9 million kids on medication. That's an epidemic. That's a, you know, that's to me genocide. Medication treating the symptom, not the cause. We know how the brain is. It gets used to the medication, and you need to up the dosage or change the medication. And by that child, when you first put them on medication at 4, 5, 6 years old, by the time they're 14, 15, 16 years old, they're on antidepressants because nothing has worked for them. And we now have an epidemic of kids on antidepressants. So the drugs are there, and in certain cases, there are lesser of two evils. So you can have some sort of a life for certain kids. But 95% of these kids that are on medication, it's not the answer. It's a temporary solution for maybe the teacher in the classroom or that parent at home. For long term for that child, it's not the solution to that problem.
All right. As you heard and as you know, one of your clients called me yesterday and told us his particular story, which was quite impressive. And he mentioned that, and I guess he learned this from you, that one of the reasons why some people have learning disabilities is because many of them hadn't spent the time crawling that maybe they shouldn't. Well, and don't is there truth to that?
Well, actually, most of these problems is coming from the first 27 months of life. As a society, we are not bringing up our kids biologically the correct way. The assault that is going on their senses and the deprivation of physical contact. You know, we're holding our kids less than 20% of the time in our arms than we did two generations ago. And there's a direct correlation between neural development and brain integration and the amount of holding and hugging and physical contact that infant has with that parent. We have our kids in strollers and car seats and walkers. Walkers are the worst invention ever made. Crawling teaches the mind to cross the midline. When that happens, the two hemispheres integrate. When that doesn't happen, you don't develop a near point convergence, you don't develop certain processing abilities because there's a lack of neural connections between the two hemispheres.
Why don't we hear more about this? Not that I hear everything all the time and know everything there is, but I've really never heard much about this at all.
Well, let me, I've been doing this for about 25 years. I'm a background in special education, but everything I do is the exact opposite of what I was taught in school. It is just amazing how unaware society is. Now, I've been working with OTs and developmental optometrists for nearly 25 years, but if I mentioned sensory integration or visual processing back in the 80s and 90s, I was considered esoteric. 5 years ago, if I spoke to a superintendent of a school system and mentioned sensory integration, they'll say, well, what really is that? Now, because of all the brain research, all the neuroscience research, we now know that sensory integration, visual processing is a fundamental part of learning, of focusing, attention, and if underdeveloped, you're going to have serious issues, whether it's reading off a page or paying attention to a teacher in the front of the classroom. Now, here's another little fact I just want to throw in about early childhood. Do you realize that 25% of our six-month-olds are watching 2 to 4 hours of TV a day? Now, at 6 months old, watching a screen for a parent to use as a babysitter, it is an assault on their senses. They haven't even developed full depth perception yet, yet they're watching images move all over a screen. And then that child will come in to see me at 8 or 9 years old, and the parent will look at me and say, I can't figure out how they can look at a TV screen or a video game for hours, but they can't look at a book for more than a minute.
All right, Peter, we're talking with Peter Riddle. He's part of the Reuter and Riddle Institute for Empowered Learning, dealing with people that have ADHD, ADD, autism. Is autism curable?
Well, it depends. I mean, Dr. Reuter, my partner, he's a developmental pediatrician. He's based at Eatontown, New Jersey. And with Dr. Reuter, he's a specialist in this area, so a lot of other pediatricians refer kids to him. So we have a lot more autistic, labeled pure autistic kids in that center. And what we do for a lot of these kids is bring them to a whole other level of processing, so they're totally functional. Many of the kids who have come through the program that were not speaking were speaking and functional after the program. But I would say about half of the kids that are autistic are misdiagnosed. The other half have serious issues, some fully correctable by sensory integration, visual processing, cognitive development. Others you can bring to a whole other level if you address these areas.
All right, hang on. Do me a favor. Can you hang on?
Absolutely.
Let me go through the break here, and we will get back to you, Peter. Hang on. This is pretty interesting stuff. You know what else I would like to hear from? I'd love to hear from you out there if you have had an ADHD, ADD, autistic child that has gone through either this program or one similar and has been cured.
Well. Let's get back to John Gambling, News Talk Radio 710, WOR.
23 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning here at News Talk Radio 710. John, with you, we are talking with Peter Riddle from the Rooter and Riddle Institute for Empowered Learning. We're going to get right back to him, but I want to go to Laura in Long Branch. Laura, you're with John and Peter. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a child that has done this?
Yes. My son is now 19 years old. He attended the Brain Empowerment Program when he began high school. At that point, he stopped taking medication. He had been diagnosed with ADD, and in high school, he was able to focus more in school. He graduated from high school. He passed his driving test.
How bad was he impacted by the learning disabilities?
Well, he was impacted as much as he needed medication. He had been on Ritalin. He had been on Adderall.
Okay, so then you took him to the program here.
Yes.
How long? What did they do for him? As fast as you can tell the story, and how long did it take?
Well, it took about I would say less than 2 years, and basically it was a lot of what the Mr. Riddle explains, a lot of sensory activities, a lot of focusing. Sometimes they did some written exercises like the Sudoku and other kind of written things.
But it was let me get back to Laura. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate your personal story. Let's get back to Peter here and get some more information. What are you doing there, Peter? What is going on with this sort of training?
By the way, we work with kids as young as four, and we have a ton of adults that take the program. A lot of parents take it with their kids. So this is, when we address the problem on the foundational level of sensory integration. Now, what is that? That's how well the brain is integrated. Your balance, your midline, your coordination, your mind-body connection, and a variety of visual processing abilities, teaming, aiming of the eyes, convergence, ocular pursuit, saccadic eye movement. These are all abilities. There are 14 muscles around the eyes. Now, you can go to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist and have your eyes medically checked to see what your vision is, but they're not checking your processing. A developmental optometrist who does vision training would test those muscles, would test those abilities. Where, 20 years ago, an ophthalmologist would look at a developmental optometrist as a medical doctor would look at a chiropractor.
Peter, as you're speaking, and I'm finding it fascinating what you're saying, because it's a real learning experience for me, as it is, I am sure, for most of my audience that really doesn't know much about this. But in our educational system across the United States, we are spending tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars trying to teach people who have these issues to do their work when we're taking the whole wrong approach, it appears.
Absolutely. I mean, for a child who has reading problems, putting them into a smaller room and giving them more of what they can't do is not the answer. When a child has a special needs, they look at a child and say, okay, they can't take a test in the right amount of time. Let's make them a 504. Let's give them extended times on tests. I'm going to look at that same child and say, wait a minute, why do they need that extra time? What can we do? What can we find that's causing them to take this extra time, and can we correct that? And if you do, you transform a life. This is not about school. This is about your productivity and your happiness in life as a person. The one thing that happens across the board for all these people that take the program is their self-esteem, their self-worth, their confidence, their communication skills, their rapport skills. Let me take a second and talk about kids would have severe behavioral problems. A parent will come to me. I'll do the screening, and the parent is present for the screening. They observe the screening, and if your child has any problems, you actually physically see it during the screening, and you get it in a second why your child struggles so much. So
many parents, did you buy in what Savage said, that a lot of these kids are just brats that haven't been, just aren't behaving right?
No. I mean, yes for some, but a majority of these kids have legitimate early childhood issues of development that just didn't happen. And, I'll say with a parent, I'll say, he's doing the best he can with what he's got to work with. And by the way, when he's doing his work, he's squirming in the seat, he's turning over, that's him focusing. The worst thing you can do is tell that kid to sit still and sit straight. The stress levels that you create of him trying to control his body when he doesn't have the ability, no learning is going on. You may go through the motions, get the work done, but that child has not learned anything.
How come there's not a Peter Riddle in every single school?
Well, you know, I screened a doctor's child who had problems with his son for 6 years. At the end of this half-hour screening, he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm a scientist. I'm a doctor. He says, I've been searching for an answer for 6 years of why my son has all these problems. And in less than a half hour, you're telling me, and it's so obvious, how come this is not in every school? And, you know, it's because we do things. Why are we closed during the summer for 2.5 months of the school business? Because we had to go home to harvest the crops. Well, we're still closing down and stopping learning for nearly 2.5 months, and that's just not natural. That's not something we should be doing as a society if we really want to educate our kids.
But there are so many people that are now caught up in this whirlwind of ADHD, ADD, autism. You put any letter you want, and I mean there are millions of people involved in this, and a significant percentage, you say as many as half maybe, are absolutely treatable in a very short amount of time.
Absolutely. I mean, 80% of my people that come into the program are done within a year, and their lives are transformed within a year. I declassify close to 80% of the kids who come in with special needs or special ed designation. 80%. The school systems of this country do less than 7% mainstream. So if it was a business, we would have shut it down years ago.
This is absolutely amazing to me that this goes so underutilized. How about in the medical community? Again, is it completely overlooked? Do they look the other way for monetary reasons?
Well, no, not for monetary. 6 years ago, I met Dr. Ruder, my partner. He was an expert in ADD. He started using a new diagnosis called the Neurolex. And when he came and saw what I did, he was just blown away. He had no idea that this stuff all affected all the things that he's been treating with medication. So he's actually changed his whole point of view. He still medicates kids when necessary, but now he has an alternative. And that's why we ended up together, because he had no alternative to medication. So a lot of these doctors are just doing what they were trained to do, not knowing that there's alternatives to this.
Does Ritalin work?
It could. And when you say work, if a child's jumping off a seat in the classroom and you give him a drug and now he's sitting still, that may serve the class but not that child. So you may say that child, that medication is working for that child, and it may not. I've had parents say, oh, I give my child medication, I saw a change in a second. Well, I give anybody medication, you'll see a change in them. It may not be necessarily good for the long term, for that temporary change. Now, I do say that there are kids so dysfunctional that medication is the last resort. It's the lesser of two evils, but that's a small percentage. And most of these kids need something else. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was saying if they could weather the storm, they could change their kids' lives.
Do you fail?
Oh, yeah. We're not 100% successful, but we have close to a 90% success rate. And in education, that's unheard of.
And what type of an individual do you fail with?
There's two types. One that doesn't consistently come to the program. So they take a 8 month or 9 month program and they turn it into a 2 year program because they can't come. Continuity is critical for the success. And second, there are kids for whatever reason, they do everything they're supposed to do and we just don't see that quantum leap in ability. There's something else going on. They've improved, but it's not to what I would consider successful. They're totally functional educationally, socially, and so on.
For informational purposes, what does this kind of thing cost?
It depends on the child, but 80% of the people fit into our standardized program. The course is very reasonable, $55 an hour. The average program runs about 110 hours. And by the way, the screening I give, the sensory motor, is for free.
Unbelievable. You know what? It's fascinating, and we've got some people on the phone that I'm going to talk to in just a moment here that have been through this program and others just like it. Why, I ask the question again, why don't we have people like Peter Riddle in all of our schools? It just makes no sense, if indeed this is what seems to be working so well. Hey, Peter, thanks for the great story.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
All right, bye-bye. The name of his company is Ruder and Riddle Institute for Empowered Learning. If you want to get involved with him. And again, there's no financial situation that we're involved with them other than the story, the information.
This is fascinating.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's amazing.
It really is amazing.
You've been listening to a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.